done okay. so many interviews in your life in one day? As
yes.
You've done today.
Yes. Yes. And in both language.
Yes.
Not easy.
No. It's facile.
But if I am, I have more journalists in Spanish than in English.
They're all here.
What do we do?
English speaker.
So how do you feel your car is for the race?
At the moment, really good, honestly. We had a decent qualifying. Maybe we could do better because our car is good. Maybe for a top 20, but honestly, in the 2 hours, we had problems. Not big problems, but it wasn't perfect, honestly. But I think we had a car to do a decent race. Of course, it's my first Indy 500 country. It's a long race. It's a really difficult race, but we will do our best to finish the race in the best position possible.
Juan Manuel Fangio started out in stock cars, then went into Formula One. I mean, are there still people in Argentina talking about Fangio?
Yes, of course. Fangio is our hero. He's our best driver in the history. And of course, this is the big driver we had. In my case, it's a weird situation because I did always I drove always touring cars. Now I have this opportunity, and of course, it's a huge difference. It's a big step, but I am here trying to do my best.
In the mid-80s, you had a great South American, mostly a junior Formula 3 championship, and even a chassis builder beating the British one, Oreste Berto. Is he still existing?
Who?
Oreste Berto. He built open wheel cars.
Ah, Berta.
Berta, yeah.
Yes. Yes, he...
Lowry drove for him and Fernando Crocieri.
Yeah, yes, of course. These drivers, I think, were competing with Helio in Formula 3 of America in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, I know them, of course.
Yeah. They had Renault engines, and Crocieri came over to Europe and raced Formula 3000, what is now Formula 2 with the Dallara. Unfortunately, the car was not very good. And Lowry went up to F1, and then Group C is what's the racing with Roger Brewer.
Yes, it's true, yes.
So maybe we see you also one day in Europe?
Me?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Well, everything is possible in motor.
Yes, I am here, so everything is possible.
Tal vez no lo sepa, pero en ese equipo que él habla del auto de Berta, estaba tu viejo.
Sí, sí, claro. Pero si me puedo explicar todo eso en inglés, no termina más.
¿Qué pasó en el box ahora? ¿Hubo alguna novedad o no?
¿En el box?
Sí, digo, ¿hubo algo nuevo en este reto que es para mañana?
Sí, la verdad es que el auto ahora tiene motor nuevo, tiene la caja repasada y es como que se vuelve a armar para lo que va a ser la carrera del domingo. Mañana se prueba en el Carburation Day, se ajusta los detalles finales y ya como queda el auto, va para el domingo. Ahora se empieza a trabajar muy finito, igualmente es complicado porque mañana el Carburation Day no es el mismo clima que la carrera, normalmente pasa lo mismo siempre. Y es fácil confundirse. Es como un warm-up el domingo a la mañana antes de la final del mediodía. Siempre el clima es tan distinto que como que te sirve más para chequear que esté todo bien que los ajustes que puedas hacer. Así que en eso estamos, tratando de... Nosotros igualmente estamos todo el tiempo en progreso, en desarrollo, no es como los equipos grandes. Así que igualmente mañana, a pesar de las diferencias climáticas, vamos a usarlo para probar algunas cositas de cara a la carrera.
¿Estaba planificado aquí o encontraron alguna merma en el motor? ¿Estaba planificado?
No, es normal, todo el mundo lo hace.
Motor fresco.
Claro, es normal. Todos cambian motor para correr en base a lo que venían usando. Es algo que lo hacen todos los equipos.
You said you race production car. You have in Argentina a touring car championship, national touring car championship.
Yes, what is the question?
You said you raced in production car.
Yeah.
So you have a national touring car production?
Yeah. So I always drop in a touring cars there. But we have there many categories.
Okay.
For example, I won 15 Argentinian championship, but in 3 or 4 different categories.
Okay.
The motorsport there is really important.
Yeah.
We have a lot of cars, a lot of categories racing there, and so nobody knows here the motorsport in Argentina, but in our country the motorsport is really important.
What What about Victor Rossi?
Yes, of course. He's a team owner now.
Yeah.
And he drove for my dad in the past in Europe. So, yes, I know
he
them.
He was very popular in Europe. Mega popular.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a good driver. A little bit crazy, but he's a good driver.
Yeah. He won races against Senna.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know his history. Yeah. Really good driver.
No sé si lo querés contestar en inglés, Abu, pero ¿qué clima sentís, a diferencia de otras fechas del campeonato de IndyCar, qué clima sentís entre los pilotos que hay? Si hay alguna diferencia en lo que se vive en el fin de semana, en la previa.
Sí, se vive. O sea, vos cuando estás acá, un poco en Texas también pasaba, pero acá pasa más. O sea, te subís a algo que sabés que es muy riesgoso. A mí me pasa eso y todos somos conscientes de eso. Fíjate, lamentablemente, lo que le pasó a Wilson. Y fue el único accidente que hubo, y en el único accidente hubo una lesión importante. Creo que, igualmente, en lo personal, no es que me pienso subiendo al auto que me estoy subiendo a lo más riesgoso que existe, porque si yo no me subiría ni podría hacerlo bien. Pero sí que vos sos consciente todo el tiempo de que estás en algo que es riesgoso de verdad y se siente mucho la velocidad. Yo nunca sentí nada ni parecido, pero ni parecido. Pero bueno, después, por lo menos yo entro en la vorágine y lo único que quiero es andar rápido y tratar de hacerlo bien y buscar a ver en qué puedo mejorar. Pero sí, a diferencia de lo que hice siempre, vos acá, cuando ves que estás llegando al límite o que estás por tocar el límite, te tomás un margen. Seguramente con los años, con el tiempo, empezás a coquetear más cerca con ese límite, pero ahora yo cuando veo que está por pasar algo o siento que puedo llegar a cometer un error, salvo en la clasificación, trato de evitarlo. Por ejemplo, la clasificación fue el único momento que pasé el límite y la saqué baratísima. Ahora ya aprendí que de vuelta no quiero que me pase, porque si ese momento me salía mal, perdía el auto y le pegaba de frente a la pared y capaz que no estaría acá hablando con ustedes, es la realidad. Bueno, es lo que tiene claramente esto y por eso lo hace tan distinto a todo lo demás.
Perdón, en Indianápolis, ir en pelotón cambia totalmente el auto, la aerodinámica. Mañana vas a seguir probando eso, es lo que te falta todavía aún más experiencia. ¿Cómo lo fuiste? Sí. ¿Cómo cambia el auto y demás?
Cambia muchísimo. El aire sucio es el arte del óvalo, aprender a ir en aire sucio, y es muy difícil pasar, muy difícil. Inclusive me llamó la atención lo difícil que es pasar. Se le pregunté a Hunter Ray, que muy amablemente me contestó el tema y me dijo, mirá,
ganador acá.
Ganador, cuando yo gané en el 2014 era mucho más fácil que ahora el tema del aire sucio. Así que, bueno, indudablemente es algo que ha pasado por lo que me cuenta con estos nuevos autos y sobre todo desde que se implementó el AeroScreen. El aire sucio es impresionante y bueno, es como que la posición en pista importa mucho más de lo que yo pensaba y de lo que pasaba antes. Porque es tan complicado pasar que avanzar en el pelotón es fundamental si vos querés un buen resultado.
Uno, cuando trata de analizar un poco tus actuaciones, tiende a decir cosas basado en la perspectiva que le da a uno, ¿no? Los pocos conocimientos que a lo mejor pueda tener afuera. Pero luego te escuchas hablar algunas cosas, como decías en esta semana, acerca de prepararse en las entradas, en las salidas, la velocidad en el pit lane. ¿Cuáles son entonces ahora esta lista de actividades que tú sabes que te tienes que enfocar más que a lo mejor que lo que se ve, ¿verdad? Al estar corriendo y dando vueltas.
Mira, en lo que es pit stop estuve analizándolo mucho. En la salida de boxe me faltan 3 décimas más o menos, pero en la entrada me faltó 1 segundo con lo mejor, por lo que observé los parciales. Pero en ambas parciales estoy por delante de Calum, o sea, como que también hay un factor de auto que uno, bueno, sabe que tiene un límite, porque si quiero bajar 1 segundo en la entrada pero estoy adelante de mi compañero de equipo, probablemente me accidente, entonces no puedo pretender bajar 1 segundo, voy a tratar de bajar 1 décima. Y lo mismo la salida, y la parada de la aproximación al pit, porque al estar asimétrico el auto, es muy fácil ir a la izquierda, muy difícil a la derecha, y encontrar esa presión de freno no es sencillo, aparte si te excedes, llevas un mecánico puesto. Entonces, así te puedo contar 1000 cosas que uno va procesando todo el tiempo, va trabajando, y bueno, hay que ir de a poco por lo que te digo, un poco lo mismo. Acá no te puedes equivocar. Un error en Indy es carísimo. Vuelo otra vez al accidente del 1. Fíjate como un detalle al pobre Stefan Wilson le cambió hasta la vida porque te quebraste una vértebra. Entonces, es como que acá no podés excederte. Tenés que buscar el límite pero sin equivocarte. Y eso es más difícil porque vos en una pista te pasás de largo y bueno, y seguís adelante. Pero encontraste el límite. Acá encontrarlo lleva mucho tiempo y hay mucho riesgo en el medio.
También que a veces se nos olvida, tú ejemplo, estás viendo ahora es que en las prácticas se usa una entrada de, claro, de pits completamente diferente.
Recién el lunes empezamos a probar la verdadera entrada de boxes.
Y entonces ahí, ese cambia completamente tu setup en la cabeza.
Tal cual, y es todo un aprendizaje que estoy haciendo desde cero. Pero bueno, para mí fue una satisfacción que la primera vez que tuve esa entrada de boxes pude quedar en una posición decente y hasta por encima de Calum. Pero bueno, para llegar a eso hay mucho trabajo de todos los días, de tratar de analizar todo, porque lo que yo trato de hacer es acortar todo lo posible el tiempo de aprendizaje. Es lo que estoy todo el tiempo haciendo, porque tengo poco tiempo, no tengo experiencia y quiero aprovechar la oportunidad. Bueno, en ese combo estoy.
¿Y en qué momento encuentras algún tipo de relajación o descanso? Porque el mes ha sido duro y bueno, falta.
Se lo dije a Leo el otro día, descansar y relajarme ya ni me acuerdo cómo era. Desde que arrancó esto en diciembre, que Ricardo me dijo, tenés la butaca, no paré. Y no paro, porque el cambio es tan grande para mí, tan inmenso, que si me quiero relajar pierdo tiempo en progresar. Así que soy así, yo siempre fui así igual, pero es como que ahora es al cuadrado.
Agustín, hoy hablamos con un montón de pilotos y dijo, todos te acompañan en que el tema físico es súper normal, que va a llevar un tiempo. Sorprendido por las cosas que han dicho de vos, McLaughlin, New Garden. Sinceramente, personalmente, sorprendidísimo. ¿Cómo estás hoy físicamente? Y si en Indianápolis es más físico o la adrenalina y la parte mental es lo que va desgastando el físico, no tanto la fuerza. ¿Cómo es el tema? Hoy por hoy, ¿cómo estás? ¿Desde dónde arrancaste?
No, mucho mejor, muchísimo mejor. Y bueno, he podido terminar todas las carreras hasta el momento, que al principio me parecía imposible. De hecho, cuando di las primeras vueltas en Sebring el año pasado, daba 4 vueltas y no podía ni hablar, ni respirar. Lo mismo en San Pete, cuando empecé. Estoy mucho mejor y ya por lo menos tengo una base que puedo terminar carreras bien, como me pasó en Barber y como en Indy GP. Así que bueno, tengo que seguir progresando. Igual en el óvalo es menos físico. El problema del óvalo es que es mucho más riesgoso para el físico si pasa algo. Y la carrera es muy larga, entonces mentalmente es durísima. Pero bueno, mejorando, estoy en una buena base y tengo que seguir mejorando. Tengo que seguir corriendo carreras, seguir entrenando duro.
¿Cuál es el plan de carrera normal de lo que sería en tu primera participación en Indy 500?
¿En qué sentido?
Un plan de carrera, ¿cuál sería? ¿Tratar de dar vueltas en la primera parte del stint? ¿El otro día completaste un stint?
Sí, no, voy a tratar de ir para adelante. O sea, yo no lo vengo diciendo, ya no quiero venir a simplemente ver la bandera a cuadros. Ya lo hice en Indy GP, pude atacar, pude pasar autos, en Barber un poco también, y ahora mucho más. Quiero ir para adelante como me gusta correr a mí siempre, obviamente, hasta donde me dé el auto, hasta donde me dé la posibilidad de la carrera. Pero no, voy a alargar tratando de avanzar, de ir progresando durante la carrera.
¿Qué significa eso, Agustín? Hoy Canan dijo, si Canapino se queda un año más, gana carreras. McLaughlin, Newgarden dijo que cree que nunca vio un piloto que lo sorprendió tanto en tan poco tiempo sin experiencia en Open Wheels. ¿Qué significa para vos? Obviamente manteniendo el pie sobre la tierra.
No, una motivación enorme, Mauro, ¿te imaginás? Yo vengo, es la primera vez que tengo la chance de medirme realmente afuera, porque todo lo que había hecho hasta acá había sido voy y vengo, muy esporádico y nada más. Esta es mi primera real oportunidad y para mí es una motivación enorme, porque no te voy a mentir, yo pensé que no lo iba a poder hacer. Me parecía todo tan lejano, todo tan difícil, que en todo momento pensé que esto era imposible. Y ahora ver que, bueno, se puede, me motiva a seguir dándole duro.
¿Qué leche elegiste?
Porque la entera.
Estás en el bolichero.
Pasa que cuando me preguntaron, no entendía nada de lo que me estaban diciendo y le digo, dame la más popular, porque no sé. Claro, en Argentina tenés dos nomás. Acá tenés 2 millones. Sí. Así que elegí la más popular, la entera. Igual si gano, dame querosén que también me lo tomo. Dame una botella de lo que sea que le entro.
¿Qué mensaje le mandarías a los fanáticos tú, que están siguiendo, que están desesperados por noticias tuyas?
Un mensaje, no, el único mensaje que tengo es decirle gracias a todos los que se toman el trabajo de venir hasta acá, porque acá estamos lejos, en serio. Gracias, y por supuesto, ni hablar, a los periodistas que han venido, a todos los que están viniendo para acá. Es complicado venir hasta acá, no es fácil, somos el último país allá del mapa para abajo, queda muy lejos, la situación argentina es muy complicada en este momento, entonces les agradezco y bueno, le voy a poner todo lo que tenga. Todo lo que tenga, quiero que sea la mejor carrera de mi vida. Así estoy pensando y así la voy a encarar.
¿Tomamos una foto, no? ¿Puede ser?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Abby, by the way.
Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. Okay.
question what will be to racing in another team with a different person. I relate completely with that feeling.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's like pumping up the energy?
Well,
how do you feel now?
You know, it is certainly very, very different, you know, for me, even just doing 10 minutes out there. It's a different, you know, sitting in the car, seeing new faces. Obviously, the engine is different. You know, the brakes feel different. Like, the way the button, you know, everything feels different. The way the engine, you know, the buttons feel to your, thumbs through the gloves is different. There's a lot that goes into that. Look, as I said, you know, I don't want to overshadow, you know, what I think Steph has done and done very well at the last, you know, couple of weeks to get this team in the car to where it's at. I also, you know, Ryan has done an exceptional job, and having known Dennis for a long time, and Don Cusick, who's obviously put together the package to be here, it just felt right, you know, for me to step out. You know, there was when the call first came, I won't say that there wasn't a part of me that thought it wasn't right, you know, and that I was just going to accept that I wasn't racing and I was going to move forward and move into kind of a different phase in my mental process and the way the rest of my week was going to be. But as I said the other day, and I still mean it, that, you know, this felt like the right opportunity for me to do something as well. And so ultimately, you know, I decided to jump back in. And yes, it is exciting to try something different. So we'll see how the weekend goes. But so far, I've been very impressed, not surprised, but impressed, you know, with Jarn Reinbold and everything that they've done. I've been very impressed with Chase. I think Chase does an excellent job, you know, to rally the entire team. You know, Patio, who's the chief on the car, he and I work together at Ganassi. So a lot of familiar faces there too. Obviously the two engineers, Jeff on my car and Todd, both worked at Ray Hall for a long time. So those were familiar faces. As I said out there, when you're around as long as I've been around, there's mostly the same guys all the time. But yes, it's exciting for me to try something different.
You feel like you have the freedom to do whatever you want in order to achieve something?
No, I don't look at it that way. I'm here to fill a big you know, void for the weekend, you know, and ultimately next week, you know, we return right back home and go race at Detroit. So, you know, my job is to do Steph and to do carekeepers and all the partners on this car, to do them proud and try to put together a great run and to go forward in the race. And, you know, these guys have done a great job. I mean, you remember Santino last year, and this car was up front with, you know, 50 to go. So I feel I'm excited. Like, I do think it'll be pretty strong. I'm gonna go blowing by this guy on lap 2.
Is the car any fast?
I don't know. I can't tell you anything.
Sure.
Hey, they don't want to tell me anything. I can't tell you anything.
Graham, you said the cars, everything is different. Do you feel personally a difference between Honda and Chevy engine, where the Chevy is made?
I don't. You know, with all due respect to the situation, I really don't want to comment on any of that. Clearly, they're going to be different. Okay. They're different manufacturers and all of that, but, you know, as I said before, you know, to respect both manufacturers, you know, I appreciate both of them giving me the chance to be here, and I certainly don't want to get into much of that.
And going back to the qualifying situation when you had all the problems, could you identify together with your engineer what was the main problem? Maybe weather-related? Is that maybe a possibility? Because the cars are very sensitive.
Yeah, but we... you know, we weren't fast enough, period, all week. You know, as I said,
there must be a reason.
If you can figure it out, let me know. Because if we knew, we would have fixed it. That's been our problem, and it's not a problem of today. You know, last year we had two cars in the last row at RLL. So it's not a problem of today. It's a problem of the last few years. And even in 2021, you know, Dad keeps saying to me, well, in 2021, you should have won the race. Yeah, but I still started 24th. I wasn't fast.
Fuel driver said the cars, it's very weather sensitive.
The weather, the cars are very weather sensitive. The cars are very wind sensitive. The cars are very, you know, ride height sensitive. Okay. They're very, you know, RH and I were talking about this. The cars of 10 years ago were so much easier to drive. You know, these cars are not easy at all. I know it looks that way. It's not. These cars have become animals to understand because of the mass and so many other things, but to understand what it takes to be good and how to care for the tire and all of these things. So they are very sensitive to everything. But in lieu of that, like you see in Fast 6 or Top 12 qualifying, you know, those teams could match their best pace of the morning, right? When they had the top 12 practice. We went out, we were 1.6 miles an hour slower.
So just to give you a
and I wish we knew.
You have to work to look for a solution.
I think we know. Okay. But it, yeah, I think on that side we know.
So is it fair to say that, you know, you have a completely different mentality of how to approach the race this far than you would have your own?
For sure, yeah. And unfortunately, Christian, you know, I was of the frame of mind, you know, Monday afternoon that, you know, like in that practice session, you know, I bounced between the three cars to give input. You know, I was in the frame of mind that was now my role was to help. But now my role is to go beat them. You know, so it changes like that. And, there's no doubt I feel excited by the opportunity. I know they've had very strong cars. But the mentality is different. You know, my job is turned from maybe a team leader to, you know, a guy that wants to go win this thing again. Not that ever went away, but clearly I have a chance now, whereas I didn't Monday afternoon. So it is different, for sure.
Have the last few days been a scramble for the little details, anything from seat fit to new fire suit, all that kind of stuff?
You know, I think everybody at Dry Reinbold and their partnership with Cusick Motorsports, everything so far has been really good, actually. It is very weird, like, and they will tell you that. Like, I certainly know as little about my car and the engine as I've ever known about anything I've driven in my entire life. But it's a race car, and ultimately, you know, you're going to go out there tomorrow and try to get it better and try to go, you know, perform on Sunday. But the I think they did a great job. I mean, you know, the steering wheel had a couple, suggestions. Hey, let's put the wheel was never going to be identical to mine, but hey, let's put this button over here. Let's do that just to try to stop me from making an error. Like for instance, you know, their pit lane speed button was where my radio button is roughly. Well, I certainly don't want to hit those inadvertently. So, you know, we did a few things like that, but the seat fit went really well. And I'll you know, thank the guys at RLL too, like Josh, and I know how hard this time is for them. But Josh and Sean Ford and those guys brought over right away, you know, brought over my pedal faces, brought over, you know, my seat, brought over, gave measurements for my steering wheel spacer, did a lot to make the transition a heck of a lot easier.
Is it enough that you're going to feel comfortable in the race?
Yeah, I mean, I felt comfortable there. Okay. I don't foresee. The only thing I can't do is change the steering wheel. You know, so what I'm used to is going to be different than what I'm going to get. But we'll make it work.
Whenever we talked at the end of your press conference on Tuesday, you said y'all were working on maybe getting Clay over to spot for you. Is that official?
That's not going to happen. No. I'll use their spotters. You know, Dennis has a very close relationship with Aaron and Logan. And I think Dennis utilizes them a lot.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
And again, every team is different. But I think we'll stay the way it is. It, clearly, if there's an issue tomorrow or the communication stream isn't working, then we'll have that conversation at that time, and they know that. But for right now, our intentions are to stay as put. And Catherine needed Clay in turn three. So for her, I want to make sure that she's in good hands there too.
I'm sure after practice, the month they had that car ready for Steph. And have you got a chance to kind of dive into similarities between maybe what that car was had to what you like? And I know you haven't been on track for car.
Honestly, I don't know anything.
Is there any input I guess you can have?
I've asked some questions, but in respect to the situation, it's not appropriate for me to push any harder.
Sure.
And that's why that, 15 minutes was important. Yeah, I don't necessarily need to go do a 30-minute session on my own and run around out there, but I did want to feel, how does the car turn into the corner? Some guys like it where when you release the steering wheel, the car naturally kind of tracks into the corner on its own. I don't. I'm a road racer at heart from my past, so I've never liked that. Some guys like it very, right-hand down. I remember Dan Weldon, watching him, his steering wheel down the straight was like this, and when he'd get in the corner, it was straight. That visually messed with me a lot, so I never liked, that, but, maybe Steph did. So you're trying to understand some of that, but that's why, I think that 15 minutes right there was important, and it really all felt very similar. Steering weight, caster-wise, all that stuff, very close.
Is there any benefit to the fact that it is simple because there's less information and less things, if that makes any sense?
As I kind of said, in some ways it is nice that, my job's to go out there and perform. I don't have a whole lot else to do than that. Just focus on when I get in. Is it comfortable for me? Is it not? Where's the car? How does it feel? And go race.
How integral is it to have, a solid chassis for the 500? It's more like I gather you're dealing with a muscle-over chassis that has done well in the past four.
Yeah, it has done well. I was joking earlier, though, I've had 10 drivers come up and tell me they drove this chassis, so she's been used up a little bit, but the truth is, same at RLL, we've got chassis 23 running around out here. That thing's been running around. I think I won Mid-Ohio in 2015 in that car, and that thing's been running around for a million years, so, once you get a good one, it's good, and, it's a little bit different, I think, from what I'm understanding, just on its strength and stuff like that, but there's no issues at all with it. I think the guys have done an amazing job, to prep that thing in a short period of time. And as I said, tomorrow we'll go out there and see how it is.
Graham, I see your pit stop competition. So is that going to give you an opportunity to work with this new crew?
For sure. And it's very different. The way that they do a lot of stuff is very different. So I'm excited for that. We were talking about it coming over here, but I've only ever had the signboard on my nose cone, only, for 16 years. They do it off the left front tire, which a lot of people are doing nowadays. I've just never done it. So, to get more repetition and reps, with that is important. It'll be nice. And those guys have done a great job. I mean, you look at historically, I think they were in the finals 3 years in a row. So they do a good job, and I'm excited. I mean, first round, I think we got Will Power, so not an ideal pick for round one. But we'll see how it goes.
You get to practice before?
Just on carb, just practice the carb day. I mean, the downside, the pit stop competition for a smaller team, and again, they've done great, but for a Dry and Reinbold, is most of the other teams will use backup cars that have, square cambers and set up like a road course car, so it's easier to stop, easier to do stuff. Clearly we're going to be using the race car, but there's no problem with that. We're excited.
Yeah.
So a few years ago, I remember seeing you and Courtney leaving a social event over at Dallara. And she was driving the Vette, you were driving the Acura. Will you be able to sit in the same car this year? Take her car?
Yeah, she said, you know, my father-in-law called me right away. And, of course, his first comment was about being a part of the Chevy family now. And, you know, my wife's like, oh, now I can wear my Team Chevy hat. And I said, look, just pause for a minute. Let's, again, in the spirit of a relationship, I've had a wonderful relationship with Honda for 17 years. So I certainly don't see that changing, but it is, you know.
So you'll still be in separate cars.
We'll still be in separate cars for now. Although, I mean, she's driving around the Honda. She looks good in it. So.
Oh, I bet. She'll look good in any.
Yeah.
Gosh, what was I about to ask you? Hold on. I lost it. Go ahead.
A technical question. Everybody's got a Dallara. You remember the years drivers brought their seats with them because of different cars?
Yeah.
So now, did they have to extend your wheelbase? What did
Nothing,
they do?
No.
No?
No. No, pretty much most teams, I think, run long wheelbase here. But we can run any, you know, really. Not a whole lot. Put a seat in. You know, Dr. Trammell, who's done amazing work. You know, the foam inserts have to be the same in every car, and then the seat sits inside of that, you know, foam. So they're all very, very close. You move the pedals a little bit, get the steering wheel up and down closer to you. What do you want? You know, the headrest is the same minus a little pad. So it's nice.
No problem switching.
Not bad. I think we had one seatbelt adjustment just to tighten things up a little bit. That's it.
The first driver I've seen today whose feet stick out from underneath the table.
There's others. Some, their feet probably don't even touch the ground if they're sitting there. But there's others that can make it through, too.
Any last question?
Yeah, I know what it was. It was with you and Steph being taller drivers. Does that give you any pause of the safety of the car? I know you've been dealing with back problems a lot.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But right away I knew, you know, when I saw the accident, I said to the guys on my pit stand, you know, that I was worried about his low back. Because unfortunately being a taller driver, you know, as Justin Wilson once told me, being tall in this sport, you're never going to be comfortable. You know, and it's true. And so, you know, I knew when I saw what happened, I was worried right away about a compression just because, you know, you lack so much support in your low back. And to get low enough or to get to where they want you in the car, you end up rounding your back a lot, you know, pushing yourself forward. And it just creates a very weak point. But, look, I don't know that that's ever going to change. That's the reality of it. I think the position that we're in now with the chassis, this chassis hasn't changed in a long time. I don't know when it will next. When they do another car, it would be nice if they just made our life a little bit easier and made the thing a little bit bigger, because there's no reason they can't. But, you know, we did that back in 2007 with the Panos. You know, the Panos is very roomy. I mean, Justin was the mold, and it worked well. So hopefully in the next one, next time around, you know, they take that into consideration.
Thanks, man.
So you got some of your sponsors on your
suit? Yeah. Yeah, United Rentals and Fifth Third Bank will be with you know, with us. I don't know what.
We love it. All right. If you weren't a race car driver, what do you think you would be?
Like serious one or silly one?
Both.
I mean, serious one, I probably would be involved in our family business. That makes the easy sense. It's a steel fabrication business in the UK.
Sure.
If I wasn't being a driver, if I could be silly, I'd probably just be like a trading card collector.
Okay, I was going to say you're like Jedi.
I could be a Jedi Knight, that might even supersede being a driver, in all fairness. So if that's possible, I'd ditch driving and just go and be a Jedi Knight
just
tomorrow.
Straight, yeah. Jedi Knight.
No, at Monday. We'll do the 500 and then we'll just switch to being a Jedi.
Excellent answer. Thank you so much. Good luck on Sunday,
Ben. Cheers.
Jim. Could you very briefly after qualifying? The team was not able to identify your problems very good. In the meantime, did you find some problems?
To be honest, mate, we really haven't dived into any more from qualifying. I haven't thought about it that much more mentally. And we did what we needed to by the skin of our teeth. We got into the race, so therefore, as soon as quali was finished, we were prepping for that practice on Monday, and now we're getting ready for carb day. So it's definitely an area of immediate concern after we've finished the Indy 500.
Could it be weather related? It was much warmer than the days before.
I mean, that's something that would have affected everybody, though, right? So I mean, that's kind of a neutral. Just
the idea in which area you have to look.
I think we're better when it's cooler. I think the car seemed to handle better. We had a bit more pace when it was that way.
Jack, Tyrese Halliburton will be driving the pace car. I'm curious if you have kind of any advice for someone like that who's taking the track for the first time at this massive place.
Well, I'd probably try and avoid making the very first laps the ones in the race, right? Hopefully there's an opportunity to drive around before. I think the thing about the speedway is it looks so big until you're just hurtling into turn one, then suddenly it gets super narrow. And I think just mentally, just takes a second to be able to adjust to that and things like that. But being able to breathe and just keep your eyes up the track, as we would say, and that basically means not staring at the front of your car, being able to look further down the track would be probably the best advice I'd have for someone.
Thank you.
Yep.
I mean,
I think they have. I mean, I feel like even where we've been able to pass more cars, and I wouldn't say we have the best car, I wouldn't say we have the worst car, but you know, there certainly looks like there's some very good ones out there. So I think between IndyCar and Dallara, the changes that they've been able to bring, I do think have actually increased racing throughout the field in the last few years. If you're at the front of the line or second, you can dice with people, but otherwise it's really just about being patient, where it has seemed like so far in practice at least there's been a lot more overtaking. I don't know if that's your observation as well, but that's kind of what it's felt like from the seat.
Jack, just tell us a little bit about just going for that second try, that major retreat, without time to change it much in the car. How did you work then?
Well, I think it was the third try. You know, we felt like we went out a lot in the last chance qualifier. I mean, we did three full runs and a cool down run. So, to be honest, I actually didn't realise until I watched it back how close we were to the session being over. That's why after we finished our run, the first question I asked was, how much time is left?
Did you think it could work, or you just let's go and find out if it's going to work?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. You know, I asked the team on the radio, I said, do you realistically think there's a chance? And if they didn't believe it, they hid it quite well, I would say. You know, they were like, yeah, I think we can if we can fix the balance. You know, we fixed the balance and managed to, by the smallest of margins, get in. I just felt like I did a good job of staying present. I wasn't worried about the what-ifs in that moment. I was just worried about how's the car, what do I need from the car, what do I need from me, how am I going to drive, you know, ultimately the best four laps that I can. I felt like they were as good a four laps as I've ever driven, and they were obviously a pretty big moment. So, you know, they're the moments as well where I say to my parents, my mentor Louise, thanks for helping me through years of support and experience, dedication to this craft of being able to handle that moment.
Do you think moments like that give you more confidence for the race?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, in a lot of ways, I think I mentally felt, relieved's maybe a strong way of saying it, but I think when you can dig that deep, whether it's me or the team or everybody involved, really, kind of a net has to give you confidence into the race, right? Because you realize now what is possible, and I'd want us to ultimately deliver them performances without our backs being so against the wall, you know, because that really was a must do situation, not would like to do or we'll try our best to. That, like, it was quite clear, either make it or you're out. So I think going into the race, just for the mental side of it, I think we all feel like uplifted. But also because there was definitely periods of time, and not just like a glancing thought, like minutes, you know, or pretty much the whole session, right? And actually pretty much from like Fast Friday, we were like, we're in trouble, we might not make it. everything feels like a bonus now, you know. And this, what's happened with Ray Hall, Letterman, Lanigan racing from Friday, even now somehow until Tuesday at 10 a.m. like, is a script that couldn't have been written, that if someone handed you it, you'd be like, well, this must be Hollywood, because this never happens. Like, I will never ever forget May 2023. So going into the race, not that we're going to be reckless, but the level of pressure that I think is on us now is almost zero. You know, we just got to go out there, have fun, number one, like, remembering this is meant to be fun, going out there and just seeing how it goes, you know, rolling the dice on strategy, going for not reckless manoeuvres, but aggressive manoeuvres, because it's really, you know, our May, touch wood as I say it, but isn't really going to get worse from a performance stance. It's only going to get better. Our car looks better in race running, so why not?
How does it feel to have your usual teammate starting behind you in a race?
It's weird. See, I guess I hadn't really considered it until you said it like that. Yeah, it's odd. It's kind of weird, honestly, seeing Graham, because the whole time I've been in America, he's been racing with RLL, and I know that when he did, you know, Champ Car, that he'd ventured with different teams and stuff like that. But I mean, it's just, he's never not raced for RLL since I've known him, or Honda, and now he's racing. It's just crazy. I will say, though, as a fan of Graham's, a fan of the sport, I thought it was great how Honda and Chevy were able to both come together to allow that to happen. You know, because I think the first thing, I hated what happened for Steph, you know, and obviously wish him a recovery, and having been in a situation where you spend all year just working for the 500, I know that gutting feeling. I was happy that Graham got that call, because he also does deserve to be in the race, you know, in terms of his talent, his driver, the driver he is, sorry. I think he's super underrated professionally. I think he's massively underrespected as a person. So in the end, I'm really, really chuffed that he's made it. It's just going to be weird seeing him in a different car than the 15, honestly.
Right.
How many actors that have been in Star Wars have you met, and how much are you going to geek out meeting Kylo Ren?
I have texted everybody I know at IndyCar to ask if it would be possible to meet Adam Driver, because I have never met anybody in a Star Wars cast, and I'm not just like a little fan, I would call myself a super fan. And if they can bring Adam Driver to the track and I don't get to meet him, I will be miffed.
I think a lot of people come to IndyCar to meet their idols, and you've come to IndyCar apparently to now meet your idols.
I know. Well, yeah, Luke Skywalker. You don't really want to be Kylo Ren, because he's a baddie. Luke Skywalker's cool too, but he ended up a goodie, so I mean, I don't know, there's balances. But I mean, I would love to, I'm serious though, I would love to meet Adam Driver. I'm going to bring my helmet from last year, which was a Star Wars themed helmet, and hopefully he'll scribble on it for me. That would be pretty sweet, but I don't know, just, I'm available if he's available.
your helmet for this year is actually coronation. How did the design come together?
Well, to be honest, I was kind of struggling with what to want to do for the 500 this year. And I think after last year, I was like, oh, people feel like I should be doing like a themed helmet. And I kind of had tossed a few ideas around, and I guess I kind of had forgotten that the coronation was happening in May. So then suddenly when I realised it was happening, I waited for the photos to come out. And then Monday, I called my helmet painter, Austin Poland, and she said, we got to do a coronation themed helmet, you know, whether, and I know the Royals can be a touchy subject for some people, but at minimum, it is a huge part of my culture from the UK. And to be able to share that and celebrate that, which, you know, my mum and dad, they've never seen a coronation before, I think for a lot of people, and we hope it is a once in a lifetime situation. It was just cool to be able to celebrate the history of the UK and what the UK is about, and in the end it came together really well. And I mean, Austin nailed the design without doubt, so yeah, I was pretty happy that we had the opportunity to do that. Coolio.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay. Sorry to put my phone right in front of you.
No, you're fine.
You could have moved it, dear.
Oh, I see.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.